Well, good evening, friends. It's really good to be with you on this Easter evening. And it's really beautiful to be able to witness these baptisms tonight. So congratulations to our newly baptized. And it's my job to share a brief word tonight. I was, however, hoping to preach a word to you from kind of the next section of this passage. So let me read on a little bit more for you, because these events are believed to have happened in the afternoon or the evening of Easter Day. So it seems appropriate to speak about them. So this is just picking up from where Maddie left off, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took some bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opening the scriptures to us?' And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." So as I was reflecting on that passage this week, I was thinking that if you have trouble holding on to the hope of Jesus and the good news, you are in good company. These two disciples traveling on the road to Emmaus had witnessed all the events of the past week: the triumphant entry on the Sunday, the supper on the Thursday, the crucifixion of Jesus on the Friday, not to mention the teaching, the miracles, the life on life of being a disciple of Jesus. And a mere couple of days after his execution, they're walking to a nearby tower thinking, "Well, that was good while it lasted. Guess it's time to go home and work out what we're going to do with the rest of our lives." I suppose at least they were out and about. The 11, the inner circle, were huddled in a room with doors locked, fearful that they would be next up on the executioner's docket. Maybe you can relate to a season in your life where you've thought, "It's great having Jesus in my life, but the place I'm in right now, it's hard. It's maybe a bit hopeless." And what happens to these two disciples is that Jesus himself joins them on the road. Now, a quality of these post-resurrection stories is that people typically do not recognize Jesus straight away. Maybe because it defies imagination that he's still alive, or that Middle Eastern men of that period looked a bit alike. Most likely, it's simply a spiritual thing, as the text says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. The point is, he joins them and they don't realize it's him. And so almost comically in the story, they walk on with the stranger and he starts questioning them about what they're doing. And they respond like incredulously. Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Now they're even more downcast. Jesus hasn't even been gone 2 full days and he's already been forgotten. Could all the good that he did be forgotten so quickly? So they explain all about Jesus to Jesus, right down to the inexplicable empty tomb following his death, to which the stranger responds, seemingly a bit offensively, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And so now he begins teaching them, opening up the scriptures to them from Moses all the way through. And as he gives them this amazing Bible study, the two disciples begin to experience that enthusiasm and fervor return to their spirits. We're told their hearts burned within them. And when they finally get to this town, they sit down to a meal. And as they do, the stranger does something strangely familiar. He takes bread, he gives thanks, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And at that moment, they recognize him. It's Jesus. And then he leaves them. So if you sometimes find it hard to hold on to the hope of Jesus and the good news, you're in good company. Because these guys were close with Jesus, and they were pretty downcast. So big congratulations today to Emma, Eliza, Josiah, Christian and Joel, who've made the decision for themselves to put their trust in Jesus and spend the rest of their lives walking with him. Last week I joined their baptism class that they've been doing with Amanda, and we discussed that, you know, walking as a Christian isn't always easy. In fact, being a Christian will set us apart. In ourselves, we know that this setting apart to be a unique and special calling, but to many others, we may seem weird and foolish and a source of ridicule and amusement. There may be days where you feel like these two disciples on the road, flat, dejected, and downcast. But what we're reminded of today is that when that happens, and it will happen, that Jesus himself comes and walks among us, ministers to us, feeds us with the bread of life, and restores our spirits. You see, at Easter, we often focus on the cosmic event. That is, Jesus dies on a cross and in doing so defeats death and sin and evil and then rises so that all humanity can have the opportunity to have a life-giving relationship with God forever and ever and ever. And that's 100% true, and that's what we're here to celebrate today. But the beauty of the Emmaus story is that Jesus' death and resurrection didn't just achieve a cosmic universal transformation, but very much an intimate and personal one too. After his resurrection, while there's confusion amongst the disciples, while there's feeling low, he meets these two guys on the road. He ministers to their grief and despair. He widens their perspective of the ministry that they've been engaged with. And he leaves them at the end with resurrection joy and hope. Resurrection Day is the greatest day in history because the resurrection changes everything. It changes it for the world, but it changes it our hearts if we choose to walk with him as these guys have today. So how does it do that? Well, firstly, it gives us a new way of doing life. The disciples on the road thought that the amazing life-changing experience that they'd had with Jesus was over. But in fact, it was simply a new beginning, a new chapter. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, which would come to them 50 days later, would be with them always and would engage them in the life-changing work that he had done. We have this legacy today. And today we commission Emma and Eliza and Josiah and Christian and Joel to the same gospel work. If you're here today because you've come to support them, maybe you're not someone who follows Jesus. Good on you for coming to a church on Easter Day. Well done. It's amazing. But I think this is something that, particularly at Easter, is an invitation for all of us to understand more, to look into. And I'll say a bit more about that in just a moment. So firstly, it gives us a new way of doing life. Secondly, we are given a new spiritual family, the church. Do you notice the movement of the story? A group of believers met together on a journey. Jesus opens the scriptures for them. Then they bless, broke, and ate bread together. And then Jesus is recognized. What does that look like? That's church. That's Sunday worship. Often in Christian discipleship, we think of church as a practice of obedience, like something that's good for us to do, a bit like exercising or healthy eating. But actually, church done right, and I mean done right, is actual participation in the life and ministry of Jesus every single time in a tangible way. Friends, I've been a pastor for over 20 years now, and I've pastored many young people, and I've had many good friends too, who sadly are not in the faith anymore. It's a great source of grief in my life. And without exception, those who left the faith all began with deciding that they don't need to be regularly engaged in church anymore to be followers of Jesus. The Christian life is awesome, but it's also hard. We need each other. We need to come and encounter Jesus together, because together we are his hands and feet, his body of Christ in the world. So if you're here tonight as someone who professes Christian faith, gather with church family as often as you can, but at least once a week. It is one of the gifts that Jesus has given us to help us to do exactly what we said to these guys before: fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. Now, as I say that, I'm conscious that there's most likely in a room this size, people who've had a bad experience of church. You know, not all expressions of worship are true church. And if you have been somewhere which is not healthy, then find a healthy church, because that's where the Spirit of God is, and that's where he wants to invite you into this experience. So Jesus gives us a new way of doing life, and we're given a spiritual family. And finally, the resurrection is God's response to a hurting world. Some very familiar verses that we've covered with our young people: God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. God knew that he didn't need to send an army into the world. He could have done that if he wanted to do that, an army to bring death and destruction to all the people who are not doing the right thing. As we see that happen today, don't we? There are 45 territories at least around the world at present that are in combat. But we didn't need that. What we needed was a son to transform our hearts, because only as hearts are transformed are peoples, nations, and global communities transformed. The resurrection changes everything, even the world. However, sadly, we often see the Bible weaponized and used as a justification for destruction, rather than seeing at its core the one who laid down his life so that we could have everlasting life, eternal life with him. Every time we make a decision for life and Christian love, we demonstrate the love of Jesus. Whether this is demonstrated in our ethics towards what we buy and wear, whether it's what we choose to say and share on social media, whether it's the mission or aid agencies we choose to support, or whether it's the influence we're able to leverage at school or at work or online, each life that genuinely reflects the resurrection power we celebrate today has a ripple effect. Those who professed the resurrection of Jesus immediately after Pentecost were a relatively small group in a very small geographical location. And yet by the 3rd century, Christianity was the dominant religion of the known world after decades of persecution beforehand. none of us should underestimate the resurrection power within us. And one of the reasons that early historians conceded that the resurrection must have actually happened was that it spread so quickly amid persecution and martyrdom. People do not readily get imprisoned and executed for something that isn't true. So if you have trouble holding on to the hope of Jesus and the good news, you're in good company. You're like Cleopas and his friend today, who had been with Jesus only recently and were already downcast that a good thing had come to an end. On this greatest day in history, let us take hold of the resurrection afresh, and let us be encouraged by brothers and sisters, these guys, who have chosen to follow in the footsteps of the risen one. And if you are someone here today who's come as a friend, has come as a supporter, has come just to kind of look in on what we're doing, maybe this isn't your thing yet, and might never be, I just want to encourage you to find out more. We're running a course called Alpha. You'll see a little ad for it later, which is all about asking tough questions. There are no silly questions. There are no questions that we say, no, you can't ask that here. Ask whatever you like. Represent whatever you like. And, of course, all of us who are here, you've seen a number of the staff up the front tonight. We're really happy to chat to you about those things too. So it's my encouragement today that as we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate our young people making a commitment to follow Jesus, that our hearts would be warmed, much like Cain said at the beginning of our service tonight, that our hearts would be encouraged, because Easter's a time where those of us who have made a decision to follow Jesus, whether that's a year ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, can renew our baptismal promises and say, yes, 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 and amen. I want that. I want that for me.